Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week we are bringing on Cause Robot, an absolutely incredible artist that makes the toys Tim and Ted. And if you haven't seen them, you need to stop listening right now, get on Instagram, go find them, and check out how incredible his toys are. They're so good. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can follow us on all socials at Toys on Tap. If you want to support the show, you can jump on and like, subscribe, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. If you want to jump on and support the show even more, you can jump on the Patreon, patreon.com/ToysOnTap. Sadly, there's no nitty gritty this week, but this is the last week with no nitty gritty. Next week, we will be back. I know I said it last week, but we got caught up this week, and that's okay. I will be posting more video interviews on there and all kinds of stuff. You can also jump on the YouTube channel and take a look over there. Now let's get to this week's episode of Toys on Tap. I gotta tell you, I am so pumped that you're on. Your figures are like pristine and they look so good. The colors are good. Everything is so good with them.
Thanks a lot. I'm also very excited because this is my first interview. So right from the start, I'm sorry if I sound weird or if I search for words for long.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a native speaker and I'm a bit nervous.
Yeah, no worries. I'm good at editing too, so I'll make sure you sound great. I don't know if you've ever heard an episode of Toys on Tap, but if you haven't, I've been spending the better part of 3 years interviewing every toy artist I can, from the professional toy world to Sofubi and soft vinyl to resin and all kinds of factory toys, all kinds of things. And so I spend time getting to know the artist behind the toys, and I'm pumped that you are now this week.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. So before we get started and do anything, please introduce yourself. Tell everyone who you are and what you do.
Okay. My nickname is Cause Robot. My real name is Konstantin. So this name, the Cause Robot, is an amalgam of my real name and robot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It came out very naturally. Like, I was looking for a good unique email and it somehow just happened, and now it's my nickname for when I design toys or whatever I do. Mm-hmm. I live in Poland. I make resin toys, mostly dead astronaut stuff, because again, this just happened initially. My name is Cause Robot because I was planning to make some robots, but ended up making dead astronauts instead. And what should I tell about it? What else should I tell?
You could say, you are one of few that comes from Poland. I only know you, and then the other artist I know doesn't even make toys. He looks for bootleg Star Wars toys. So is there any other artists that you know of in Poland?
Not really. I'm not sure this is very popular in Europe in general. Like, okay, there's not that many European artists that make toys. But there are some. I know no one from Poland, but I know some other artists from other countries.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited because we're going to figure out how you started making toys and doing all that. But before we do that, you got to walk me back to childhood. You got to tell me what it was like growing up in Poland, what kind of toys you had, the cartoons, that kind of stuff.
All right. So I've spent my childhood in three countries. I lived in Ukraine. I lived in Russia. I lived in Poland. So it was very similar because mm-hmm. these are all like post-Soviet countries. And in childhood, what we had, I was born in 1993, so not all the 80s stuff was available to me. Yes, the TMNT were very popular, the mm-hmm. 80s TMNT. the Scooby-Doo of the 90s, Fox Kids stuff like the X-Men, Iron Man, Spider-Man. These were very popular. And then in the early 2000s, we had Lego Bionicle. We had Ninja Turtles from 2003. So a lot of that stuff. But I personally was mostly into Marvel Legends, the old Toy Biz Marvel Legends. That was my main toy. Me and my brother, we've played Marvel Legends all the time, each game. Mm-hmm. Or Bionicle. Because, you know, in Europe, Lego is something special.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is it harder to find Lego because in Europe they have Playmobil, right?
No. I mean something special that very, a lot of people grew up mostly on Lego.
Okay.
In our region. Like, action figures were not super popular mm-hmm. when I grew up. Mostly kids played with Lego. For some reason, it was more popular. Maybe it was easier to explain parents that this toy kind of helps, you know, like develop child's brain and etc. Playmobil was never as popular as Lego, but was pretty popular as well. We also had Star Wars, very popular. All the Kenner stuff, the Power of the Force, and when they've transited to Hasbro, it was basically the same stuff. And what else did we have? Batman, of course.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Of course. I think it was never Kenner. It was always Hasbro. And Action Man, but I'm not sure how popular Action Man was in the US.
I don't even know what Action Man is. What is Action Man?
Action Man is a 12-inch doll for boys, kind of like the vintage G.I. Joes. Mm-hmm. It was quite popular, and we had a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't see people from the US talking about it too much, but it was a Hasbro toy. So I don't know why they never advertise it as much in the US.
Yeah. So it's called Action Man. Is it like an army type guy? Is it just a random superhero character? What is Action Man?
Action Man is kind of a James Bond.
Oh, okay.
He's that dude with cool face, a scar on it, black hair, and all the cool gadgets you can imagine. And of course, many different accessories, suits, vehicles. It was quite popular.
Yeah. Was it tough moving around a lot as a kid? I mean, in the US, when we move, it's like we move to a different city, we move to a different state at most, but you moved to three separate countries, having to take all your stuff with. Like, what was that like?
My parents, generally, my family was like located in all three countries simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Like, I've mostly spent my younger years in the Ukraine, but my family members worked and lived in Poland, Russia, and I was visiting Poland time to time, but mostly lived in the Ukraine mm-hmm. for some time. And then I've moved here.
Yeah.
To my roots.
I mean, that's a lot of moving and stuff, but because you're making toys, that means art has some kind of hold on you. Like, you love art, or you've made art or something. Tell me about when art kind of crept into your life. When did art start to show up?
I just always really loved toys. This was my favorite thing ever, mm-hmm. always. Like, if we talk about physical things. And when I was a kid, I thought it would have been cool if I could make my toys, but I didn't know how this was possible. I thought this was, you know, like a magical process. There was no understanding of how they do it. I didn't know about the existence of like polymeric clays or resins or anything. So I've sculpted So I've sculpted some from plasticine, but it wasn't impressive. I drew a lot, and basically I've started making my figures based on my drawings first. So I was drawing a lot, and in my student years, you know, when the lecture was especially boring, I would be drawing a lot and drew some different characters here and there, and decided that I want to try to make toys based on these characters. And I've just discovered through a, there was a video, I think it was called Secret Life of Toys.
Mm-hmm.
It was about toy sculptors, mostly who mostly worked for NECA, I think. And they've been telling about how they do it, what materials do they use, and that is, I've discovered that that's not as impossible as it seemed, that you can buy some clay, sculpt something, engineer something, and you would basically put this clay in the oven, it will harden, and you'll get a material that resembles plastic for a prototype. And then I've discovered about fluid resins that you can pour it inside of a silicone mold and get a thing. And so I decided to give it a try. And I believe first thing that I sculpted was a figure of a Super Meat Boy from an indie game for my friend. He said, like, I'll buy you all the supplements and you sculpt me a thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, but I don't know how to sculpt. You'll figure this out. And so that's how that started. I sculpted Super Meat Boy, then some other figures for him from The Binding of Isaac, a similar game. And then I started to sculpt some robots. I've never released any of those. And eventually ended up making Dead Astronauts.
Yeah. Was there ever a period, I mean, because art, it seems like, took on or was in your life really early on. Was there ever a period where you took a break from toys and collecting and that kind of stuff?
Never. I was never in that phase. I know many people get through that phase, but I was always into collecting since I was 8.
Yeah.
When I first saw the Spider-Man Classics figure, that first 6-inch fully articulated Spider-Man by Toy Biz, I was blown away and decided I want to collect stuff.
Yeah. Are you still collecting? What's your main collection right now? If you've been collecting this long, it's got to be good.
It's not very huge because I usually sell a lot of stuff because I don't like to get overcrowded with things. So if I don't feel like a certain figure brings me joy anymore, I will sell it. But I mostly collect Marvel stuff, mainly Mafex. I collect Halo, Warhammer, Bionicle, some other Lego Technic stuff. If it comes to Marvel, I'm mostly an Iron Man guy plus Spider-Man, but he's like my number two.
Mm-hmm.
And I mainly collect comic stuff, not from the movies.
Mm.
And I'm personally not collecting that much designer toys personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm mostly about the licensed stuff, so I have my sins.
Yeah. that's tough because you're producing basically designer stuff. You're producing resin and doing all that. Tell me about, you started sculpting. Your friend wanted you to sculpt something you had never sculpted, and you kind of just figured it out. Tell me about that process, and then how that got you into toys and really like learning how to make toys.
Okay, what was the first thing that I discovered? I bought some tools, bought some clay and some foil, because I saw somewhere in some tutorials in the internet that you have to make a wire armature,
mm-hmm.
then put some foil on it to give it a shape, and then you sculpt over it. So that's the method that I've used for the mid boy and for the joints. I've just used simple pegs. I think I've snapped some Lego tubes,
mm-hmm.
like not tubes, but maybe pins. And I've drilled some holes.
Yeah.
And basically made like simple peg joints. The way I've started sculpting was like just sit there and try it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've played with some instruments and to figure out what instrument does what, to what kind of pressure should I apply to make certain curves and everything. So it was in some way it was organic, but in another way, there was a lot of time when I was sitting there like, I can't figure this out. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
There were some very hard things to learn. For example, sculpting fingers,
mm-hmm.
or sculpting faces. Like I was pretty good with the overall shaping of the figure, like shaping a body, making some folds on clothes. But the fingers, the faces, this smaller, thinner stuff, fingers especially, because I didn't know what to put inside the figure as an armature to sculpt fingers over it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hardest thing for me when I started sculpting. And then eventually I was trying more and more different stuff and techniques. I was always sculpting with the type of clay that you bake in the oven.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, so I can make all the mistakes I can.
Yeah.
I discovered the hard way that some plastics, when I've used them for armature, for example, melt in your mm-hmm. oven. So there was a lot of back and forth just to figure out how to make all that work.
That's to sculpt is a skill set that I absolutely do not possess. I'm not good at sculpting. But I watch toy sculptors a lot. There's a couple. There's one, his name is Worst Villain Ever. There's another one, Death and Strawberries. And they just absolutely incredible sculptors and what they do. And so it's always fascinating to watch people. They sculpt in wax, like the original Kenners and stuff.
Okay, yeah. So the big professionals, they sculpt in wax or plasticine.
Yeah. And there's a third one named Kerfloss, and he spent time and like they tried to track down different wax recipes from different sculptors, and it's incredible to see people sculpting like that.
Yes, wax is interesting because it's a very different technique, because mm-hmm. you basically like carve more than you sculpt at a high temperature. So I've never tried that because I just didn't want to get in that mess. You know, it's very messy. You have to heat it. You have to have a special set of tools, but you can get a nicer, smoother surface with a wax. So I understand why all the sculptors from the big companies like Toy Biz, Kenner, they all sculpted in wax.
Yeah.
It's nicer for a finished product.
Yeah. Tell me about this, like getting into these dead astronauts. You wanted to do robots. What made you not do robots? What made you head into the dead astronauts?
Okay. So the reason why I wanted to make toys I wanted to have something that doesn't exist in real world. Like I see something, but there is no figure of it. And I'm like, I want to have it. And one day I saw a very cool Pac-Man fan art. I don't remember the author, but it depicted the Pac-Man as an anxious astronaut who was chased by three other dead astronauts. Like the ghosts were the dead astronauts, and he's like lying there trying to save his life, and they're attacking him. And they looked so cool. They were like these ghostly figures, brightly colored, mostly in one monotone color. They've had this retro aesthetic and kind of looked like this astronaut from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
They looked very cool. And I thought, wow, I want to make something similar to that, because I'd like to have some figures that are similar, like those vintage styled dead astronauts, because I don't think there was anything like that in the market back in the day. We have a lot more these days. Many people do it. So I wanted to have something similar and decided that I'll try to sculpt a dead astronaut figure. First, I've had a very big prototype. It was about 10 inches tall. I was thinking that maybe I'll be able to make a Sofubi of it someday, but the sculpt really wasn't all that good. So I've decided maybe I should try something. Maybe I should start from scratch. This was the typical dead astronaut, you know, just a walking one like that.
Yeah.
And I sculpted the new model in 6 inches. It was better. And this was my first released figure. This was my first resin figure. It ended up being the first one. The 6-inch dead astronaut that was called the Dreary One. And then I've remade it again in 3-inch scale. I don't know, maybe you've seen my classic trio.
Yeah.
All the older ones, the Dreary One, Horrid One, and the Blaming One.
Yeah.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1.18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsor Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's COYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters.
Those were the first designs, and I've only made the Dreary One in 6-inch scale. Oh no, I made the Blaming One as well, but I've never finished the Horrid One, because when it comes to resin, the larger the figure, more resin you need, so it costs a lot to produce, and it costs a lot for a buyer.
Yeah.
So I thought it wouldn't pay off, so I've decided to shift to a smaller scale. And the reason why I chose 3 inches was very random. I just liked Playmobil at the time, and I saw, you probably know him, Daniel Yu.
Yeah.
Designer from Singapore. He made his first toys sculpting all over the Playmobil figures. And I thought, wow, I can make something in that scale.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's why they're 3 inches tall. Maybe I should have go with 4 inches, so they'd be more compatible with Kenner stuff. But what happened has happened.
Yeah.
They were 3 inches tall, and all the later models were 3 inches tall to just to be compatible with previous figures.
Yeah. And they're a great size. I looked at them before I came on with, I looked at Tim and Ted, and those names are so fun. The figures themselves are so clean. How is that? Like, are those factory produced? They look like you have a factory just like, I can't remember what it's called, but injection molding, because they're so clean and the colors are so good.
Thanks. That was always the goal, to mm-hmm. make them clean, because I didn't have an access to injection molding. So they're all poured. They're just resin.
Yeah.
Like resin in silicone molds. But I was going for that factory feel. I'd say I myself not as much an art toy collector as I'm a, like, you know, factory toys collector. Yes. So I wanted my toys to look like they came out from the factory. I wanted this feel. I wanted the bright colors, the clean, all the clean surfaces, that not gloss, but satin finish. So they were just sculpted this way and then sprayed over with the satin varnish.
Yeah.
So they have that smooth surface. And then I just found a very good factory that were able to make resin figures in high volumes and in many different bright colors.
That's incredible. Is that how you are now in producing the resin factory?
Right now I'm in a transition. I'm done with resin.
Okay.
I want to go to a factory, and right now I'm working on a series of Sofubis.
Awesome.
Yeah, it took me some years, many years of hesitation and back and forth. I've planned many different things, but decided that Sofubi will be the best way to begin with the production figures, because it's relatively cheap and forgiving, and it's just something that you do in a designer toy world. We do Sofubis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just so classic. That's just so classic to make a Sofubi.
Yeah. And looking, I mean, the figures are pulled up right next to me. Just looking at Tracer, Ted, and Tim, and all these figures, with each one being, like with this being so good, what is making you want to transition into Sofubi? Are you going to stop making these figures altogether?
I'm stopping making resin figures.
Okay.
I have some stock that I'll be selling throughout a year or two. I have a big stock of parts that I have, mostly Tim's and Ted's in some different colors. But I'm moving away from resin because it takes too much time, too much work, and the quality isn't as good as you can get on a factory. And on a factory, for example, I will start with Sofubi, but then I'm going to make 6 POA, 3 3/4 scale figures.
Okay.
More traditional, like compatible with Kenner, classic Star Wars, all that stuff, G.I. Joe's. I will be moving to 4 inches.
Okay.
After the Sofubi. If this is successful, I'm moving to PVC and ABS.
Great. That's incredible. Are you able to tell me a little bit about these Sifubi figures that you're going to create?
Yes, they are sculpted digitally by a very talented sculptor. You may know him, Ehimo Adventures,
mm-hmm.
who makes all those amazing custom TMNT figures. Like,
yeah,
he's my favorite independent toy mm-hmm. artist. He makes the best stuff out there, to my feelings. And I'm not in TMNT, but I love his stuff. It's just so professional.
Yeah.
So he is sculpting these figures digitally. They will be 6 inches tall. There will be, I think, three in the beginning, the classic trio.
Mm-hmm.
And if everything goes well, then there will be Tim and maybe Ted.
Okay.
I don't know when I'll be able to start selling them, but I hope that next year.
Okay.
I hope that next year I'll be able to begin selling those Sofubi figures.
Yeah. Are you working with a factory that's doing the soft vinyl in China or Japan or Mexico? Where are you working through?
That's the problem. I don't have a factory yet.
Okay.
Yes, I have some STLs, some 3D models.
Yeah.
And when everything is finished, then I'm going to contact those companies and find one that fits.
Yeah.
Because I don't need only, you know, like the company that could cast Sofubi.
Mm-hmm.
I want a full cycle production with painting, the yeah. packaging. I want a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something more professional. Maybe if I'll be able, I'll make it through unboxing industries.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would prefer that, but we'll see what comes out of it. They usually have a very tight schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but I'd like to.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think I can send you names of other factories that are in the US or Brazil. I have a couple of names, but a full factory with paint and packaging and everything, that's going to be, are you ready? Like, that's a lot of work. That seems like a lot going on. Are you ready for all that?
Yeah.
Nice.
I am. I would really appreciate it if you can send me some of those companies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, when it comes to making the 6-inch figures and then the 3 3/4 and 4-inch figures, what's kind of helping you navigate how big to make these toys? What is kind of shaping your desire for them to be a certain size?
When it comes to Sofubi,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to make 12-inch figures, but they will end up too expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that's a good idea. 6 inches, because of Marvel Legends,
mm-hmm.
basically, because of the industry standard, it's the most compatible scale. I collect this scale personally.
Yeah.
And it's a good enough scale for a Sofubi figure to still retain all the Sofubi qualities while still be relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want it to be similar to those Bandai Ultraman Sofubis.
Yeah.
You know, 5 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be something similar to that.
That's a really good size.
Yes, because I'd love to make, you know, superposable figures like Marvel Legends, but I don't think I am ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
I want to begin with something simple and then gradually make things a little more and more complicated. So Sofubi first,
yeah,
4 inches next. And if everything goes well, then maybe someday fully articulated 6-inch figures. That's a dream. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
That's a good dream. I think I'm always excited to hear when people want to like take their toy creations to the next level and just keep growing and keep growing. With making these types of toys and how good your work is, have you planned or on going to conventions? Have you been to conventions? Have you had tables at things? Like, what does that look like for you?
Not yet, but okay. I want to, when I have some factory produced stuff,
mm-hmm.
yes, then I'll definitely go to conventions and mostly American conventions.
Yeah.
Because that's the center of a toy world.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my customers are from the US, I'd say like 95%. So that's the place to be. And when I have my figures ready, I'll make a tour.
Yeah.
I'll make a US tour.
That's what we're hoping for. I mean, especially like whenever we've had artists from all over on the podcast and to get their toys in the US, sometimes it's a trek. It takes a lot of effort to get them shipped in. And so sometimes I work with other artists and we go in and buy a bunch of figures so that shipping is cheaper and that kind of stuff. And so I'm hoping that we can get your toys over here. So when you make that US tour, that'll be good.
Yes, I hope so. That will be complicated to me to ship all the stuff to US, but maybe yeah. directly from China to US will be easier. I don't know. We'll see. But when it comes to just buying things from Europe, like you said, it could be complicated to order things from abroad, the US, yeah. right? When it comes to my figures, I usually try to make shipping as cheap as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to make it affordable. I think I have shipping for like $11
or something. Yeah, that's like that. Really cheap.
Yeah, I think that's very fair.
Yeah.
For do you, a customer.
Is that for international shipping, $11?
Yeah.
How do you, I mean, that's so cheap. How do you keep it to $11 for worldwide shipping?
I just do it myself.
Okay.
That's the secret. I just do it myself. I pack everything myself and yeah. I ship everything myself. So it's cheaper. And maybe because our local post isn't so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because of that. Because sometimes, yeah, I see like I want to buy something from the US on eBay and the price for shipping is like $50. And I'm like, yeah. What? $50 for shipping? Are you crazy?
Yeah, that is. That works. That is crazy. Sometimes that happens and it irritates me so much. But I try to keep shipping as low as possible when I can.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
I'm also interested in your graphic design background because you not only designed Tim and Ted and these incredible figures, and you figured out how to do molds and resin and get clean stuff and all kinds of stuff, but you also designed the boxes.
I can tell you a story about those names as well.
Absolutely. I would love to hear, why are those figures named Tim and Ted?
Yeah, because the names are very weird.
Yeah.
For a reason, like, first, Tim. When I was drawing Tim first, I thought, I have those three angry dead astronauts. And on the older figures, there was this line, this is all because of you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, there should be a victim, who they blame. And I drew this, like, at first he was an alive astronaut, Tim. I drew him and there was a question, is this all because of him? And Tim just rhymed to him.
Yeah.
Is this all because of Tim? Is this all because of him? And the other reason is I wanted the name to be very random and out of nowhere. Like, have you ever watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Yeah.
So they stumble upon this wizard who does that crazy stuff with fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask his name, and you expect to hear something crazy, like some crazy Latin name. And he says, you can call me Tim.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the mood.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, that's the mood. And Ted, I've designed Ted. I've posted some photographs and I've asked my crowd, what do you think is his name? And one guy wrote, oh, he's Ted. And I was like, yeah,
he's Ted.
Let him be just that, just Ted.
Yeah.
Because we always have some epic names for those characters, but in real life, they probably have a simpler name, like yeah. Tim or Ted.
Oh,
just guys.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. That's also good to remember that, like, normal names are okay. And the boxes are really well done. So tell me about your graphic design background.
Again, when I do something, I want to make it look legit, like yeah. something that you buy from a store. And I don't have a real, like, academic background. I was just always drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the most talented in drawing, but good enough for what I need, because usually I draw some very cartoonish characters, cartoonish scenes. And so, yeah, it's just practice. I just want to make something look good. I can spend like 2 weeks drawing one background, but I'll be trying my best.
Yeah.
Just to make it look good.
Yeah. Which is so good. Cause I think when a toy looks that good and it looks factory made and it's not, that's absolutely amazing. When you look over your toy making career, and you look over all the things that you've done in this toy making, what do you hope this next year looks like?
I hope that next year, and it will be my 10th year, that I'll be able to sell real factory produced toys.
Mm-hmm.
That was always a goal, to someday make things on a real factory. Mm-hmm. And I hope I will achieve that goal next year.
Yeah, that's, I can't wait to see it. I absolutely can't wait to see it. Constantine, it has been so good to have you on the podcast, and it means the world that you were willing to work with the time difference, even.
Thanks to you as well for finding a time that fits both of us.